call a geek. A little girl who never smiles, cause I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground who's always chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend. Is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all.
And that's right, Don't Laugh at Me. This here is Big Dot, better known as Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, with you on another Jumbo Braille program here on the Success Radio Network. Saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to have your prayer requests, prayer praises, as once again, we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house with us tonight, and we just want to say welcome to everybody. Sister Ruth, who do we got in the house with us tonight?
Well, praise God, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels. We have, of course, you. We have Brother Quick, Lila Onion, Jim, and just little old me.
Okay, well, since we got Sister Lila with us, we'll start with her, see what kind of prayer requests she's got or prayer praises. Lila.
I do have prayer requests and prayer praises. Start out with the prayer requests. Please pray for Sister Emily, especially me too, some people here at the facility. My best friend, which I will say a personal unspoken for her, and I am going into prayer praises. I am glad I'm found trying to adjust to certain people here at the facility. And I'm glad Sister Ellen's getting the help she needs.
Okay. Is that it, Lila?
Yes.
Okay, and Sister Ruth, your turn.
I'm having some pain from my cellulitis, so I've been in bed quite a bit today. But the Lord's still on the throne. I believe he can still heal. I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. I had to cancel because I didn't get a ride in time. So some things are going to happen good. I believe the Lord's still going to take care of things. And I'm also praying for Emily and Lila and her request.
Okay. And, of course, once again, we want to pray for Emily's mom, her stepdad. Of course, all those, as Emily would say, for the first responders, our police forces, those in authority, such as presidents, etc. And, of course, as Brother Quick knows, our prayer concerning the bus and my heart condition. And, of course, yes, I'll repeat the prayer request for Sister Emily as an unspoken. And so, Brother Quick, you are on, and the floor is yours.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Ken. I'm glad for these praise reports from Miss Lila coming in. It's always good for a child of God to give a praise report. Amen.
Amen.
And, also for Miss Ruth with the pain that she's going through. And Ruth, you give me that doctor language, you know, as far as where that pain is at. And so all I can say is, Lord, you know, she's hurting and she needs some help, because I don't know too often much about the situation or the location or anything like that. And I don't have to, because I'm not the one that's going to heal you. It's the Lord's going to do that. And so I thought it was really quite something from you coming with those doctor language. Miss Quick and I always go into the doctor together. I go in when she's going in, and she comes in when I'm going in, because doctors have this thing about throwing these long syllabled words around, and I can't get them, and Miss Quick can't get them all, but she can give me the idea of about what they was coming from. And so we're able to put things together when we go in together like that. And so, Miss Ruth, I will be praying for you, praying that the pain, that is for sure. Lila, I'm going to be praying for you and that situation that you came out with. And Brother Ken, we all the time praying for you and your heart condition. If the Lord takes you on home, we ain't going to have nobody around here to come in here and bug everybody like what you do. So we're just asking the Lord to take good care of you before I preach tonight. Our Father, I would plead with you for these requests that were brought in to our attention this night. I would ask that you would be with Miss Ruth and help her with this pain situation. And I'm asking that you give her a ride the next time that she has to go to the doctor, so that she can be sure and get in there, because this is just something that none of us can keep putting off. There's times when we need to get to the doctor, and I think that Miss Ruth needs to get to the doctor, but I'm asking for you to touch her and help her until she does get in. And then for Miss Lila, she asked prayer for herself, for her neighbors, for her best friend, and she was glad for several different things. I wasn't able to get all of those things wrote down, but you know about each one of them, Father. And then for Miss Ebb, she has an unspoken that has been brought to our attention. And we would plead with you, dear Father, that you just minister unto this girl according to your sweet and wonderful will. Help us in each of these requests. Help us in each of these needs to continually bring them unto you And when we bring them onto you, help us to understand we need to leave them there with you, because you're the only one that can take care of such things as what has been brought into our attention this night. So you just help us this night now as I go into the Word of God. I'm asking you to help me to be nothing more than just a mouthpiece. That's all I want to be. That's all I need to be. It's just a mouthpiece speaking up those words that you will give me and that you will lead me and guide me in. So just help us this night now, and we'll sure enough thank you, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. There's another praise report on our side. Last week, I said that Ms. Quick was giving an unspoken request. And so this week, she's back here sitting right alongside of me again. And she said, make sure that you let everybody know that that unspoken request was answered, because I'm feeling much better. And she's able to get up and get around a whole lot better than what she was last week. And so we just thank you for your prayers, because without everyone's prayers, we don't have anything at all, that's for sure. I'll be looking in the Word of God at 2 Chronicles chapter number 14 this night. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We'll be looking at a new king that takes place under the land of Judah. Verse number 1 of chapter 14, let me read it. You follow along best you can, because sometimes my reading is not the greatest. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. Asa is going to come on the scene and take up being the king in the place of his daddy. His daddy had been a good man, had some rough edges around him, but he was still a good man, that's for sure. And his daddy taught him a good bit about fighting battles, I believe that. But we're going to find out here with King Asa that he's going to show up here and he's going to begin his reign by building a strong relationship with the Lord God. Listen to verse number 2. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Did you get that, ladies and gentlemen? He's just new on the scene here, and yet he's already purposed in his heart to be right with God. Now, verse number 3, he's going to go a little bit further with his being right with God. And verse number 3, he's going to perform what we commonly call burning the bridges. There's not going to be any flames here, but he's going to be taking away some of the old bridges. Listen to verse number 3. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images down the groves. He's going to make sure that there's nothing around that's going to be any kind of a weakness on his part for him to not follow the Lord God, as he's already stated he's going to do in verse number 2. Now listen, verse number 4, he's going to go a little bit further. Listen to verse 4. And he commanded Judah, the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. You see, he showed up. He's made up his mind that he's going to follow the Lord. Now he's letting it be known to his people what he's going to be doing. He's going to be following the Lord. He's going to need all the help that he can get if he's going to follow the Lord through. And so he's going to make a statement here to all of his people in the land of Judah. Let me read this verse of scripture one more time. Verse number 4. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. Quite a ruler already. He's already taken care of a whole lot of things that's been in other people's way for a long time. He's going to build a strong defense. He showed up and he's already showed that he's going to have a strong relationship with the Lord. He's going to build a strong relationship with the Lord. But then he's going to go a step further. He's going to build a strong defense. Verse number 6 says this. Verse number 6 says, and he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. What about those apples? He's going to put a fence up around a whole lot of stuff. We had a president here not such a long time ago that was building a fence along the southern border. And then when he was no longer the president, has said he's not going to build that wall. And he's letting millions and millions and millions of outsiders get in this nation. Isn't that amazing? King Asa was not going to let any of the outsiders get in. He was not going to do that. Instead, he was going to build fences around the cities. Well, he's going to do more than that. Verse number 6 says he's going to build fences around the cities. Verse number 7 says this. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Isn't that amazing? He's going to take care of a whole lot of problems. It's not even there yet, but he knows one day they're going to be there. He built towers, those places high above the battle to come, where the battles could be seen from every angle. Those towers were a place to get above the battle and above the enemy, so that you knew exactly how to fight the enemy to come. He knew what he was doing when he put these towers in place. And then he built gates so as to regulate who came in and went out. Isn't that just amazing? He is God's man. He's operating under the guidelines of God himself. And he's put up gates to make sure that he knows who comes in and who goes out. And then he built bars up. And bars were a way to drive away battles. It was a means of keeping the enemy and the battle away. Don't ask me anything more than that. That's all I can tell you about these bars. They were quite a defensive thing, that's for sure. Well, Psalm chapter 18, the verse number 2, to this. The Lord is our rock and my fortress. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. These are words coming from King David, when he was king over Israel. Oh, let me read that again. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Isn't that amazing? David knew what a high tower was for also. just like King Asa does. Oh, listen, King Asa knows what he's doing here. He's also went a step further. Read verse number 8 with me. Verse number 8 says, and Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows 204,000 or 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Isn't that amazing? He's built an army that believes just like what he believes. Woo, hallelujah, amen. Isn't that amazing to show up and to build an army this size of men that he had no question at all? They believed exactly like how he believed. Wow, isn't that amazing? That is to me, that is amazing to me. You see, Asa did all of this because he knew the day would come, the day would show when the realness of such preparedness was going to take place. He knew that. He knew it was going to come. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 says this, and there came out against them Sarah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Oh, listen. This fellow, Zerah, is quite an interesting feller. Listen to me now. To look at Zerah, he's a double-sided person. I'm here to tell you that now. Listen. To see Asa, or to see Zerah, the Ethiopian, the double meaning of his name is this. An inexperienced warrior sees this name to mean a rising of light adorned with shining ornaments, but an experienced warrior sees this name and he realizes this is a sign of leprosy. This is a sign of sin. Isn't that amazing? We have a whole lot of good-looking, good-sounding, full of leprosy, actually good-for-nothing religions in this nation as I'm speaking to you right now. Some that I'm speaking to know more about this than what I do, because you may have some kind of an experience that I don't know anything about. But you see, that's exactly what there is in this nation. You look around at all sorts of different religion things, and they're all girded with sin. There's some kind of a sin that's attached to it somehow. Oh, listen to me now. The inexperienced warrior would see Zerah as a bright and shining light adorned with shining ornaments. We've got religions right here in this nation. That's how they've gathered their following. Because these inexperienced people that see this, and that's what they're seeing. They're seeing this brightness about them. They're seeing all this partying, all of this wonderful stuff like that. That's what they're seeing. And it gets their attention. And they end up joining up with that thing. Oh, we better be careful in this day and age. I'm here to tell you. Better be careful. You see, in the book of Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book in our Old Testament, God gave some directions concerning this subject of leprosy. Listen to it, beginning at verse number 1, chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Joshua and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight becomes deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Now, all of those lepers in biblical days, all of those lepers would have to have some kind of a covering over their face. And when anybody was getting close to walking close to them, they had to holler out, unclean, unclean. And nobody could get close to any kind of a leper. Isn't that amazing? And this fella called Zerah, that's exactly what he looks like. He looks like a good covering of leprosy. Well, Zerah the Ethiopian, verse number 9 tells us exactly who this man is. He's the son of Cush, the grandson of Ham. He was a member of those who hated God. He is a clear type of the flesh, a dominating factor in the problem of sin. Isn't that amazing? Zerah brings his army, and he camps out at a place called Maresha. That's what we read here, verse number 9, one more time. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Now, the name Maresha, this place called Maresha, let me tell you what this name means. It means a place of dominion. It means that Zerah has brought his army, and they have encamped at Maresha, which is a place of dominion. He, like the Democrats of this day, think that they've got everything under control, but the midterm elections is just about to come. And when it comes, the Democrats are going to be singing a different song. Amen and amen and amen. Because you see, the Democrat Party in America wants anything but God. Anything but God. They don't want anything at all to do with God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was God himself that ordained the fact of America being what America is to this day. Because of all of the blessings of God upon this land, this nation, that's why America is known all around this world as the strongest nation in this world. Because God is the one that set this nation where it's at. Amen and amen. But you see, Zerah brings his army, and they camp out at a place called Maresha, which is simply, this simply means a place of dominion. Well, look at King Asa. He's going to come out to this battle also. Look at, let me read verse 10 to you now. Verse 10, then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. Isn't that amazing? He's going to set his army in a place called the valley of Zephathah. I stated earlier that King Asa was building a relationship with God. Just a few moments ago I said that. Then came the mention of Asa building a strong defense. Remember that in verse number 6, verse number 7? Zephathah. The name of Zephathah means literally watchtower. Woo, hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? King Asa put in verse number 5 and verse number 6, He built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and they had no war in those days. Look at verse number 5. He took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places, the images, the kingdom was quiet before him. It's no wonder the kingdom was quiet before him. He was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. Oh, listen. Look back here at verse number 4. Verse number 3. He took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. Verse number 4. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Ooh, ain't that something? You talk about a leader and a commander and a king. This gentleman by the name of King Asa knows a whole lot about becoming a king without even being a king. And now that he is in the position of king, he's letting the whole land know he's in the position of the king, because now he's going to lead this land, he's going to lead this people right back to a good relationship with their God in heaven. Amen and amen. Well, you see, he had to burn all of these bridges. That's the phrase that we use. Look at verse number 7 again. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and what? Towers. Remember what I said those towers were for? That put one army up over the top of another army so they could see exactly what direction they were going to go in. They could see exactly what kind of ammo they had to shoot with and fire with. They could see all that because they were up above all of that stuff, and they could look down and they could see it. Well, King Asa is going to bring his army, and they're going to stop at the Valley of Zephathah. Oh, let me read that verse again. Verse number 10, one more time. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the Valley of Zephmarisha, the same place the enemy's at. But the enemy thinks he got everybody under control because he thinks he's at the place of Marisha. He's at the place of control. He's got it all right down pat. And all of a sudden, King Asa brings his army out, and they're sitting above that army. They're sitting above Zerah's army. They can see exactly what direction that army is going to go in. They can see exactly what direction they're going to go with their next move. They can see all of that because they're up there above them. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. The Valley of Zephathah. Zephathah means watchtower. To look through a distance, to await, to be able to look across the battlegrounds with the ability to take note of the battle plan of the opponent. Isn't that amazing? Ability to observe where the attacks are coming from, the ability to see where the battle is aimed at. It's the observance to determine the damage of the coming attack. It's an observance of the will of God in the battle. Asa, remember, is building a strong relationship with God. You remember that, don't you? That's what I said. He's building a strong relationship with God. And he's showing it right here in this first battle. He is showing it right now because he brought his army out. They have set there. They have gathered in a place right here, the Valley of Zephathah. They're overlooking the enemy. They can see exactly what the enemy is planning. They can see it all. Well, what about that? Told you. King Asa was outnumbered, just about by 2-1. Because Zerah is bringing 1 million soldiers plus all of those different pieces of information, different pieces of I know what I want to say. If I can stick my tongue out, you can see it right on the end of my tongue.
Chariots.
Yeah, there you go, chariots. I knew you could see it. Now, thank you very much, Ken. I know that I was having trouble with that one word. Hallelujah. But you see, that's what Zerah has got. He's got a million on the ground. He's got 300 chariots. And he is all set to sit down here at Marisha, control of this battle. Well, King Asa doesn't have that many. King Asa doesn't have that many soldiers at all. Look at verse number 8. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. That's only 580,000 against over a million on the ground plus 300 chariots. I told you he was outnumbered. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me just remind you. You and I, as a child of God, we're outnumbered today. There's more on the ground before us on the devil's side than there is on God's side. Isn't that amazing? But we're still winners. We are still winners. We're going to win the battle. There's no question about that. We're going to win the battle. You see, Asa is fixing to win this battle too. Now look at verse number 10. Look at verse number 11. And listen to Asa as he begins to cry out to God. He says, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Whew! That would help you and me if we could learn to pray like that. It would help you and me a lot if we would learn how to pray just like that. Lord, you could help me. You can help me. I don't have a whole lot of strength, but I've got you. That's exactly what King Asa is praying. He said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. You see, God came and found me in my sin and saved my soul forever. I'm still saved. 60-some years later, I'm still saved. Amen. He called this poor, unlearned, bashful servant to preach the gospel story. I'm still preaching it after 49 years. I'm still preaching it. Amen. Oh, listen. He has met every need, past, present, and future, that this old boy has ever had. Oh, I know. I don't know anything about those needs of the future, but God does. And he's already met them. Amen. He's answered my prayers according to his sweet will every time. Amen and amen. You see, he continues to teach me like a child of God needs to be taught. Times of trouble, it's nothing for my Lord to come, no matter where we're at, no matter what kind of obstacles we're faced with. He'll be right there to help us. You see, many, many years ago, I can't even tell you how many years ago now, it's been close to, 40, how many years ago was it we started that second work? About 1982, I think is what it was, 82 or 83. I had been pastoring, I had been called as the pastor of a church. And so I went, and I preached there. I made it about 6 months. And one Sunday evening, I was out in the vestibule greeting people as they were leaving. And the head deacon came to me, and he couldn't even talk couldn't even say a line, one line straight. And finally I looked at him and I called him by name and I said, Jerry, hold on right there. He says, huh? I said, hold on. Whatever it is you got on your mind, spit it out right here. And that big old fat bony finger of his, he got it right about to the end of my nose. And he says, don't you ever mention sin from that pulpit again. Whoa, hallelujah. Well, that ended up that the Lord said, you've been here long enough. Let's just get out of here. And I got something else for you to do. And so there was a lost man. And he came to me and he says, Brother Quick, you don't have a place to live when you move out of that pastorum. I said, no, I don't. He says, I got a house over here. I'll let you live in it. No charge at all. He says, you can live there just as long as what you need. A lost man let that take place. A lost man didn't even know Christ. And we lived there for, I guess, 3 or 4 years. He came to me one day and he says, you going to start another church? I said, well, I've been praying about that. He said, well, you know, he said, they're having a meeting out here. And he told me where there was having a town hall that was having a meeting. He said, you need to go out there and just tell them you'd like to rent that building over there. I said, okay, Ken. I said, I'll do that. And I put it off. I had so many other things I was trying to get done. I just put it off. And I couldn't tell you how many times Bob would run into me, preacher, you been over there yet? I haven't had time, Bob. He says, listen, he says, tonight they're having a meeting over there. You get ready and you get over there right now and you tell them what you want to do. And so I had to do that. I mean, yes, sir, I'll do that right now, Bob. So I went, and this was up in cold country. I mean, we were up in the western end of the upper peninsula of the state of Michigan. That's exactly where we was at. And the city that we were in gets 300 plus inches of snow every winter. And come June, there'll still be big snow piles where they've had to pile and put the snow piles up. I mean, they get so much snow up there, they don't know what else to do. And so I went out here, and I went to this town hall meeting. When they got done with all their business, then the moderator looked at me, and he said, well, he said, we got a visitor here. He said, would you like to stand here and tell me what you've come out here for? So I stood up and told him who I was, told him I was looking for a church, a building where I could start a new church in town. And he said, well, he said, I don't have any problem with that. And he said, any of you fellas over here on the board have a problem with that? None of them had a problem with it. And he says, no. He says, you can go ahead and have this building along with what you need it for. As a matter of fact, he says, we'll go ahead and pay your heat bill and your light bill while you're going to be in here too. A heat bill and light bill. When it gets so cold up there, I mean, it got cold up there. I mean, it got cold up there. Well, we started our church, and the second week that we started it, this Bob Filler came around to plow the snow out of our driveway, and he came in to have a cup of coffee, and I knew he was just troubled, and I said, Bob, you look like you're really troubled. And he started telling me some of the things that he was troubled about, and pretty soon I just looked at him, and I said, Bob, you don't know Christ as your Savior, do you? And he looked at me and he says, what do you think I'm sitting here waiting on you to tell me about? And so I said, well, you don't have to get down on your knees. He was a bit of a cripple. And he says, if you're going to get on your knees, I'm going to get on my knees. And he got down on his knees and he prayed a sinner's prayer. I mean, this man was doing business with God and he let God know that he needed the Lord to save him. And he became a very, very strong member of that church. Well, we were looking for a church building. Didn't have one. I drove down the main street of the town one day, and there was an empty brick building right there in front of me. And I said, whoa. And so we ended up with that building. And that was quite a story that I won't tell you about, but we ended up with that building. It needed a lot of work on it, but we could go in there and work on it. But you see, we had to learn how to pray. Had to learn how to pray about a building. Had to learn how to pray about starting another work. This was the second work that God let us begin from scratch. By the way, that was 1982. That church is still going yet to this day. Amen. Matter of fact, by now they have bought that whole block of Main Street, and one part of it they've built a pastorium. I mean, they own that now. I mean, it's some of the most expensive property in town. But God gave it to us. Oh, listen to me. You see what I'm saying? You got to learn how to pray. Asa knew what it meant to pray. He knew he was 2-1 odds. He knew that. But listen to what he prayed again. Verse number 11. Let me read it to you again. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Wow. We didn't have hardly any people in our church, that second building, second church that we began. But we had maybe 20, 25 people. And when we found this building, I went ahead and got a hold of my people, and I said, people, listen, we got to pray. We're needing the building. We got to pray for this. And we just went to praying. I mean, Wednesday night prayer meeting, that's exactly what we did. We prayed. We were needing the building. And God gave it to us. Amen. But you see, that's exactly what it takes. It takes being centered in on God's will. It takes bringing your needs, your desires unto the Lord. Give them to him. Leave them there. And God's going to answer according to his sweet and wonderful will. Well, that's not the end of verse number 11. But you see, listen to what else King Asa prayed here. I'll start at the beginning again. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. Woo-hoo! For we rest on thee. Wow. He's outnumbered more than 2-1, but he's praying and he said, Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. He didn't say, Lord, you know how many people they got over there on that side. You know about all them odds of where faith. He never said that again at one time. He said, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. Hallelujah. You want to build a good prayer relationship with the Lord? That's what it's going to take. It's going to take you getting to a place just like it took me to get to a place where I could rest before the Lord. Take my burdens unto the Lord and leave them there and rest, knowing he's going to handle it according to his own sweet will. God's responsibility in the battle is the battle. Every battle. In thy name we go against this multitude, Asa prayed. Our responsibility is to own God, lock, stock, and barrel. You see, King Asa hadn't stopped praying yet. Listen to the rest of this now. He said, let not man prevail against thee. Whoo, hallelujah. And so they went ahead and got into this battle. The Lord smote the Egyptians before Asa, before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Wow. They had the numbers in this battle. They had more than 2-to-1 odds in their favor. And yet, what are they doing? They're running. They're fleeing. Why? Because God has showed up in his own people here. And they're strong. They're coming on strong. And God's going to win this battle for them. Oh, listen. You see, our responsibility is to believe God. But do we really? Asa said, "Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee." Our responsibility is to believe God. But do we really? Do we really believe him? It's easy to say, "Oh yeah, I believe him." It's easy to say that. But where's the proof? The proof is when you get yourself in a place where God is the only way out and you depend on him and he brings you through, then you know that you're starting to believe him. Our responsibility is to believe God. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. God's responsibility is the battle, every battle. In thy name we go against this multitude, King Asa prayed. Our responsibility is to own God, lock, stock, and barrel. O Lord, thou art our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let not man prevail against thee. Isn't that amazing? Now, Zerah and his bunch is going to take up running away from the battle. Listen to this. Verse number 13. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. Gerar. Isn't that amazing? They chased them unto a place called Gerar. Do you know what the name Gerar stands for? This Gerar is a place for chewing the cud. It's a place that's totally under control. We used to have cows. And they would graze most of the day. Graze, graze, graze. Come early afternoon, they're going and laying down somewhere in the shade. And you know what they're doing as they're laying there? They're chewing the cud. Why are they doing that? Because it's a place of rest. It's a place of ease. Amen. It's a place they have under control. Amen and amen. And King Asa and his army chased after them. They chased them to a place called Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown. Overthrown. They had the numbers more than 2-to-1 against King Asa. Thrown. Why is that? Because Zerah didn't have a living God that he could depend upon. He probably had all sorts of gods back at the house, all sorts of gods that he prayed to here and there, all over the place. He probably had that because people have that all right here in America. They've got all sorts of gods they pray to all over the place. But there's only one God that's still alive to this day, still sits on his throne in heaven, And there's only one, the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sitting on the right hand of that Father in heaven. And he's interceding for us yet this very day. Jesus has been interceding for me in this 45 minutes that I've been preaching to y'all. Isn't that amazing? Jesus has been interceding for me. When I can't come up with a word, Jesus kicked Kim, and Kim come on with the word that I was looking for. Amen. Why is that? Because Jesus was interceding for me. Amen. Well, listen to me. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God is a God that we really need to be very serious in handling in our lives. We need to be very, very serious in our situations before God. We need to be very, very serious taking our needs unto him and leaving them there. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, listen. Right after God called me to preach, I hadn't been preaching hardly a year yet. And one of my dad's preacher buddies, my daddy had been a pastor for 40-some-odd years, and one of my daddy's preacher buddies showed up one day and said, "Brother Quick, what's this I hear you've been called to preach?" And I said, "Yes, sir, it is." He said, "How's your prayer life?" Well, I was just young. And so I just began to tell him everybody I was praying for. I got done, and he looked at me, and he says, "Excuse me, I just asked you, how's your prayer life?" And so the first thought that run through my mind was, "Oh, hallelujah, I forgot somebody. Let me see." And I went back through, and I brought a couple more that I had forgotten about. And I got all done, and he says, "I don't think you heard me." I says, what didn't I hear? He says, "I asked you, how's your prayer life?" As I heard you say that, I said, "But I don't know what you mean when you say that." I said, "Would you be so kind to tell me?" He says, "I'm glad that you asked me, because I'll be very glad to tell you." He said, "What I'm telling you is, when you got a need, take it to the Lord. And when you take it to the Lord, when you take it to the Lord, he knows how to take care of it real fast. He sure does." You see, God is no stranger to the troubles that you and I go through. He's no stranger to it. He understands very well what's going on. When we go through troubles, he knows exactly what's going on. He sure does. I want you to understand, God knows how to take care of all the needs that you've got right now, too. He knows how to do that. He can do that very, very well. Our Father, thank you for these moments together. And thank you for your help on my part tonight. I would plead with you that you just minister and help us in this ministry that you've given to us. And we'll sure enough thank you and praise you. Now just be with us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. That was a good message, Brother Quick. Would you give your contact info?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Brother Ken. My contact information is this. I live on at 1122, that's 1122 Church Street. That's Waycross, Georgia. Waycross is spelled capital Waycross, Georgia, 31501. And I'll appreciate you dropping a note, just letting me know how you feel about how I'm getting things done, and I sure appreciate that.
Amen.
And that was a very powerful message. Very powerful message. Thank you, Brother Quick.
Well, thank you, Brother Sex.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes, I have to concur. I enjoyed the message very much. Dr. Quick, it was very inspiring, very well put together and told. May you continue to be encouraged. In your, as you keep getting younger, you keep on preaching.
Thank you very much.
Amen. How you doing,
yes,
Dr.
To God be the glory. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful to be gainfully employed, business doing well. I'm thankful I got the strength to keep doing it. So my name ain't the woke list one more time. So I am grateful for what God has afforded me. And that's why I enjoyed that message, because the Bible said, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And
that's it.
And
amen.
That's the simple thing. That's the simple thing. And so he put it together. I thank him.
Yes.
Thank you.
Amen.
All right, Sister Ruth, who else do we got with us that might want to say something real quick here?
Of course, we always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, and we have, of course, Brother Quick, and we have Jim, which usually doesn't want to speak, but I know he's behind Brother Quick there. We have six, and, of course, Pastor Bonnet and me, and I just want to pray for Emily. She is desperately in need of help right now, and just pray that she gets better. She's not feeling well, and there's some other issue I'm just going to keep personal, so. All right, so, and I'm having extreme pain. I'm almost thinking about going to the emergency room, but I think the Lord might get me through the night without having to worry about it. So God's in control.
Amen. And
amen. Keep my family in prayer. We just celebrated my sister's birthday on yesterday. Been 14 years since she's been gone. Celebrated my mother's birthday. You know, she passed January 27th of this year. So happy heavenly birthday to both of them. Keep my family in prayer. Definitely my niece, my youngest niece, keep her in prayer, get her back on track with guidance, and just keep my whole family in prayer, including myself, because I'm very stressed. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. We're doing that very much.
We'll pray for you, six, bud. We love you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
And then with the contact information six, Brother Quick gave, also, if you wish to contact him via email, I'm taking the emails for him and then transferring them to him and sending them via snail mail. If you wish to send an email, you do that by feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips. Letter N is Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, king like the guy who sits on the throne wears a crown, @gmail.com. In your subject line, write question or comment for Brother Quick. And then just send that off to me. I'll take it, get it printed off, send it to Brother Quick snail mail. And when he sends the reply snail mail, I'll send it back to you as an attachment on an email. So you'll have his reply. Amen. And then, of course, if you wish to have this program or any other program right here at the Success Radio Network, you could take and go to your smartphone or tablet and in the podcast section, enter Six Eyes Radio, that's SIXEYES space radio, RADIO. Once you click enter, we'll pop up there, and then just click subscribe, and you'll have us on demand 24/7 for your listening pleasure. If you have an Apple or Android device, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. Once downloaded, you go to iHeartRadio, type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, as in the previous example. Once we pop up, click on that, and then click subscribe, and you'll have us on demand on your Apple or Android device. If you wish to go via the internet to find us, you can find us at blogtalkradio.com/sixeyes, and you'll get all our great programming there as well. And in Brother Six, would you please tell us about the other social media you can find us on?
Yes, we are on we're on Facebook. You can type in Six Eyes Radio. We have a Six Eyes Radio Facebook page. You can like us there. Also, like Ken said earlier, we're on the Apple platform, iHeart platform. Just type in Six Eyes Radio. We're on Spreaker. We're on Stitcher. And we're also on TuneIn Radio. So you just type in Six Eyes Radio in the search, and you can find us that way. And the other countries, I'm not sure, but they know how to get us because they're listening to us right now. So our surrounding cities, states, and faraway countries, we do appreciate you from the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we are not out the woodwork yet. We're not out the woodwork yet. So with this variant of the new coronavirus, the Ninja, from the Six Eyes Radio Network, please continue to wash your hands, practice social distancing, and wear your mask. They prefer the N95 mask. That's a mask that almost looked like a folded taco of sort, has like the pointy edges when you fold it. That's the ones that they recommend. But if you can't find those, you can still wear the regular cloth. We want you to be safe. Hand sanitizer, washing your hands, practicing social distancing, wiping down your cell phones, light fixtures, keyboards, remote controls, cell phones, et cetera. From the Six Eyes Radio Network, be safe. Thank you.
Amen. And then finally, from me, I want to remind you how you can help us to stay on the air. Remember, Six Eyes Radio may be free for you to listen to, but for us, it does cost, and we would appreciate your love gift. There are several methods you can do to help us stay on the air. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal, enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. If you wish to send a check or a money order, first contact Brother Six at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. In your subject line, put donation information requested. In the body of your email, explain that you're wishing to send a check or money order and need the pay to and snail mail information as to where to send your check or money order. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, so Brother Quick, would you give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here tonight.
All right. Our Father, thank you for these moments together. And thank you for these words at the end from everybody. And I'm just glad to know that people are listening, and it helps me through my days, that's for sure. I'm asking you to be Brother Six and help him in all that he has before him, and for the finances of this radio, I would plead with you that you would just continue to meet that need and help him in all that he sets out to do. For Brother Ken, asking you to continue to be with him in his heart, because we need him around for sure. And for Miss Ruth, can you just touch her and help her in a real special way with this pain? Now be with each one of us this night, and help us to understand you're the one that's in control, and we're just here as your mouthpiece. So you help us in all that we do, and we'll sure enough thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And one last note, we'd love to hear and see all of you tomorrow night, 9 p.m. here at the Six Eyes Radio Network for AJ and the Squad. So God bless everybody. Catch you tomorrow night.